Welcome to the Level Up Artist Podcast. We are your hosts, Adriana Amay and
Jackie Sanders. We're two art professionals sharing for the advice and business lessons we have learned along our creative journeys.
We talk to artists, leaders, and art professionals to demystify the creative process and discover new ways to succeed as a career-minded artist.
If you find value in these conversations, please go ahead and subscribe. This will help other creatives like you find our podcast, and you'll be notified when we drop a new episode every Tuesday.
So, earlier this year, we had the opportunity to set up a podcast room at Triangle Artworks annual arts event called Smash, which was amazing. And during the event, we had the chance to interact with all kinds of folks from all walks of life. Artists at different stages of their career. We got to meet lawyers that do services for artists, accountants, other types of providers, marketing and website specialists, all kinds, as well as leaders and art administrators that work in public art and art councils and art nonprofits. It's one of those events that's kind of like a who's who, but it's not just the artists. It's kind of like the artists and, you know how they say it takes a village. Well, the whole village that supports artists is also invited as part of the celebration event, which is really cool. And then one of the things that we got to do, besides asking folks, you know, how the annual event had benefited their professional career, we also wanted to zero in on some of the challenges that artists may be struggling with, which, as you know, it's the kind of stuff we try to demystify on the podcast. And we try to capture some advice gems from art professionals who have seen other sides of the industry. But at least for the purposes of this episode, we want to kind of struggle on some of the artist questions and kind of take it from there.
Yeah, so we're going to be sharing and then responding to some of those questions that we received, kind of like a call-in radio show, even though these questions were captured at a previous event. But to go ahead and start, let's start with Amanda's question.
My name is Amanda Szymański, and I'm an oil representational painter. I took a public art course sponsored by Triangle Artworks in the fall of 2023. And that was amazing for me. It was, first of all, free, which makes such a huge impact for a working artist. And it really enabled me to feel confident in applying for public art projects and knowing how to search for them. Even if I'm a beginner in the career and a beginner in applying to these, like, I feel confident in how to apply. So yeah, it was amazing. I think the thing that I have lately been struggling with is finding my artist community, finding people that kind of keep me competitive and sharp and offer that, like, you know, constructive criticism and challenge me. So that's the thing that I've been struggling with, is like finding local friends that I can meet with, make art with, and just kind of help build each other to be better, you know, in our art making.
Amanda, thank you so much for your question. First thing that comes to mind to me is, whether it's here locally or if somebody's listening, you know, they might be in another state or even in another country. One of the biggest tips is to reach out to local art councils and any local art nonprofits in your area. A lot of times they're very much on the pulse and in tune with what kind of in-person workshops or networking opportunities are around. Like, for example, Triangle Artworks, use them as an example. They will do things like artist happy hour or art administrator happy hour. So depending what area of the quote-unquote art world you are in, there's a lot of times different kind of meeting opportunities that you can take advantage of. And in doing so, meet more artists, more like-minded artists that are in your area.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely a common feeling that a lot of artists have at some phase of their creative career. I remember when I moved to Raleigh, coming out of like a super tight, connected college community, then you move to a new state or a new city, and you like feel like you're starting from like ground zero, right? And it's going to events like that that can be super helpful, of just like, okay, who are like the big players in terms of organizations and resources in my area? Getting familiar with them, and then kind of working towards that one-on-one connection with artists, which I definitely think leaning in to building those one-on-one connections can be helpful, as many people may be able to relate to. It's a lot easier to go to a networking event or an art opening when you at least have like one other friend that's going with you. Oftentimes, in the beginning of networking, maybe we'll bring our partner with us or a friend that's like not a artist or qualifies themselves as an artist, which is totally great. It's good to have that support still. But I'm also a huge fan of just like sliding into people's DMs on Instagram, like not in a weird way, but just like a complimentary way, saying how much maybe you like their work, asking some basic questions based on their stories. Some people call it just randomly scrolling on social media, but shifting your mindset into thinking of it really as digital networking. Set a timer for yourself, 15, 20 minutes, and go share some love on some people's Instagrams that you went to an exhibition the weekend before and started following them. Going to those events, following the featured artist on Instagram, and then interacting with them can be a great way just to start building those connections. And then, as you want to take relationships from online to offline, maybe asking an artist to go on like a coffee date with you in terms of, hey, I would love to talk more about how you got this opportunity or resources you know about in the area. Do you want to grab coffee this weekend or whenever? That can be a great way, especially for many artists I know in our immediate area, and in the arts community at large, are just super generous with the information. Of course, having virtual friends like podcasts here is really helpful. But yeah, giving it one-on-one connections to where, worst case, they're not going to see your message or they won't respond, or they say, you know what, things are really busy right now, but hopefully I see you at a future event. Yeah, that's totally fine. So going to large events, acknowledging those resources, and then building one-on-one connections from there, I think is the best strategy to go into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would add too, like if you're asking to coffee date someone that perhaps is a lot farther along that you are, that you're getting a lot of value of that conversation, buy their coffee, buy their sandwich, you know, just it's the least you can do, you know, if they're sharing that experience freely with you. It's a nice gesture. Makes it more likely to have a follow-up too. Just that little extra, little extra. All right, so that was awesome. So there you go, Amanda. Hope that was helpful. Next up, we have questions from Emmy and Pervy that are somewhat similar. They have to do with marketing and branding and exposure. So let's go ahead and listen to their question.
Hi everyone, my name is Amy Patel and I'm the creator of Gallery Box, which is a locally curated artwork subscription box. Our goal is to represent underrepresented artists through our collections that we send out to collectors each season. Triangle Artworks has been significant in helping me find access to mentors as well as education. It's really hard starting out as an artist that's trying to launch a business as well as get my own artwork out there. So finding that support through community and being able to share different sorts of learnings with each other has been really helpful. One of the things that I really struggle the most with as an artist is trying to market and brand my artwork and get that out there as a new up-and-coming artist. So a lot of the times I see a lot of established artists in galleries and markets around town. So it feels like I'm starting from point zero and it's really difficult to find different opportunities that way. So finding that sort of community and being able to better establish my artwork and find the best practices to get there.
My name is Parvi Shroff, and I'm a visual artist. I work in mixed media and fluid art. I have been practicing art from last 20 years. I'm trained in graphic design and commercial arts. From last 10 years, I have been working with fine arts part and creating paintings and artworks. Well, so this is my first smash, and it's a first year with Triangle Artworks. I'm here by the referral, Joel. He's in the he's board member, and he told me about the Triangle Artwork during holidays. And there's a donation drive as well. I was part of it, and then he shared more information, and I was like, I wanted to learn more about it. And this event came, and I'm so happy to be part of it. It's great to meet like-minded people, and it's good to see the same hustle that I go through, you know. So, yeah, it's great to be here. I have social media pages. I have my website, but still I feel like I'm not that up to date with the marketing part. That's why I'm here to learn, you know, what different I can do. I know this is art. It's not a retail business or anything that, you know, you just keep posting reels after reels and you just, you know, get that visibility. But still, I would like to be seen and be visible. So that's why, you know, that's the question I always kind of, it stucks me and bothers me. But yeah, there is Design Runway. That's my studio. And my Insta handle is Design Runway Purvi. And you can also find me on the Facebook by Design Runway. And my website is www.artbypurvi.com.
So those are wonderful questions. And I feel like regardless of what stage of your art career you're in, marketing, branding, getting exposure as, you know, as artists are things that we have to not just build in the beginning, but also evaluate at least annually or every other year. Because sometimes either the strategy needs to be tweaked a little bit, or maybe it's not necessarily in alignment with the new work that we're creating. So regardless of what stage you're in, this is something to look at. In terms of your specific questions, I feel like a great starting point are actually books. There's two we've talked about on the podcast before, Art, Money, Success by Maria Brophy, and I'd Rather Be in the Studio by Allison Stanfield are two that come to mind because they specifically address marketing for artists. Be careful, there's a lot of marketing stuff out there geared towards artists, but isn't even necessarily by artists at all, or anybody that's even in the art industry. They're just kind of repackaging it from something else like manufacturing, and it doesn't really apply to us. So be careful with that out there. There's also workshops and courses that, again, are specifically for artists by artists, like hint, hint, nudge, nudge, the ones we have at levelupartists.com, where we talk, you know, ourselves about actionable marketing and branding strategies for visual artists and have templates and PDFs and things like that that specifically address these kind of questions. But I would say books and then online courses like the ones we put together are a great way to get started.
Yeah, absolutely. I know those two books were especially vital at the beginning of both of our creative careers, of really just being that, I think the biggest thing is like that mindset shift into marketing yourself as a product, as a brand, while still obviously making work that you're connected with. So those two resources were definitely super helpful. But from a quick action item standpoint, in addition to maybe adding those books to your shopping cart online, another quick action item that I think is helpful is, again, going back to something simple that maybe 5-10 minutes a day is just really interacting with other artists and galleries online, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's finding their newsletters, to really get on their radar, which also then helps you know about resources, which goes back to the first question. But doing things just like sharing their posts to your stories, commenting on people's works or posts, even just simple words of affirmation of, oh my goodness, this looks awesome. Like, you as an artist know how great of a feeling that is when someone comments on your stuff. And then you start realizing, oh, this person comments pretty consistently. And not doing that as like a manipulative tactic, but truly just commenting what your first reaction to the post can be that makes someone's day, makes them smile, is a great way to connect and grow your audience online, but also gives you an idea from a marketing standpoint of what kind of content do you like interacting with? What are different ways in which different types of artists market themselves online? Because it is a really personal decision on what you want to share, what you don't want to share. And we dive into a lot of that at our Level Up Artist marketing course, but just being aware of what's out there and then doing what feels right to you. But up next, we're going to talk, get a question from Katie Stewart about pricing challenges and how to make a living with your artwork.
I am Katie Stewart. I am an installation artist, a photographer, and art director creating in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's been an incredible impact, actually. So I was a photographer and a senior graphic designer before I went freelance. And so I have recently been making the transition more into installation arts and things like that, like really immersive installs and public arts in specific. And I randomly saw a class that was for free run through Durham Momentum 360 and Triangle Arts. So I applied the night of that it was due. I applied and then I got into this incredible class. It was kind of like a scholarship. So it was free, wonderful, accessible. And that is where I met Cynthia Dice and David Wilson. So I was in the class with Jackie. It was really fun. Also, I was so happy to see a familiar face and like a artist that I'm also a fan of, like in the class. It was really heartening. And their support and just that resource was so incredible, indispensable, amazing. Got to meet like incredible speakers that spoke to our class, like Eliza Redman, who I'm also a fan of her work, like absolutely incredible in the city of Durham. And our teacher was David Wilson. So he is actually like an incredible public artist that I was familiar with his work because I live right near the Chavis Community Center. So like, I guess as a freelance artist, you don't have a lot of access to like mentorships or like you just have a lot of questions and not a lot of answers. And it can be really frustrating and discouraging and you can just like struggle to find a compass. So that Triangle Artworks class was my compass and just was just like this wonderful heartening highlight of my week for 6 weeks. How long was that class? Yeah. yeah, so it was just amazing. I can't recommend it enough. I went to like one of their mixers, even though it is physically painful for me to network, but I'm glad that I went to the mixer because I met another artist who is actually photographing that event. And I am now applying for public artworks with her, Mayanthi. She's amazing. Yeah, so excited. And so also I David Wilson, the teacher, asked me to collaborate with him on some public art RFQs. So we've been applying. We made it to the next step for Method Community Center. We unfortunately didn't get it, but we are not discouraged and we're going to keep applying. But yeah, I can seriously go on forever about how important and special Triangle Artworks has been to me. Like I said, it is very hard as a freelancer to have a compass and have, and it's hard even to find like the right mentor of sorts to ask all your questions to. So I have run into the problem of like, well, I guess not exactly, problem's not the right word, but I have been wanting to have pricing resources. Pricing, I think, is the absolute hardest thing. It is the most, not my most important thing, which probably, you know, I'm influenced for the art. Like I'm in it for the art and the fulfillment and the emotions. But you know, we live in a society where like, I would like to be able to make a living from my art. So having help with pricing resources, I think is really important. And so related to that, I think that contracts, they're legal. We don't want to get in trouble. That would be incredible for, yeah, I guess support. And of course, like camaraderie, having a community, because it can be really isolating being a, like your own small business owner, because you don't have the, yeah, the camaraderie and like the face-to-face interactions that, well, I'm an extrovert, so I need those.
That right there is the $1 million question that I feel most artists that want to make a living from their art or supplement their income from their art want to ask is, how to make a living. So great, great question. I'd say one of the first things to think about is, how do you actually pay yourself? And are you paying yourself pennies on the dollar? Do you sell for $25 a painting that took you, you know, 20 hours? You know, it's time to look at some of those numbers. We have several podcast episodes where we go deep into the subject. And we even go into different ways to calculate how to pay yourself. Some of the recent ones include episode 40, Raising the Cost of Your Artwork. Episode 124, Is Your Art Too Cheap? I love that one. And then more recently, episode 149, which we did earlier this year, we actually spoke with Cynthia from Triangle Artworks, speaking of, and we also went into pricing details. So definitely highly recommend you give those a listen for different ways to price yourself and kind of support yourself with your artwork.
Yeah, and one of the biggest tips from those episodes that I know I really connected with when trying to just establish some form of pricing in my work was to look at the prices of artists in your area that work in a similar medium and that have similar experience. Obviously, trying to figure that out is like a project in itself, but this is really just for a range, trying to figure out. Okay, for abstract acrylic paintings in my local community, what are the whole range of prices that they're going for? Is it $60? Is it $5,000? Something in the middle. And just being aware of what other people are charging, but with the caveat that you don't know if they are pricing their artwork correctly. You don't know what their overhead is of their business or what their process is, if they have different, more expensive materials, less expensive. So I think just getting a range in your head, though, and then kind of settling on a price that feels right to you. We talk a lot more in detail in those episodes for people to check out. But again, kind of learning the environment around you, and it's a constant learning game. But up next, we're going to be tackling a couple more attendees' questions. First, let's take a quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by our Level Up Artist courses.
We understand that life as a modern artist can be both exciting and overwhelming. Plus, there's a lot of information out there. So, what do visual artists actually need?
We've spent countless hours of trial and error, weeding through tons of information to find the gold. So you don't have to waste your time going down those endless rabbit holes.
In addition to weekly calls, we have created video course modules to cover everything from artist documents to exhibition prep, social media to technology, sales strategies, artist mindset, PDF resources, templates, and so much more.
Ready to get started? Head on over to levelupartists.com to learn more, get immediate access, and level up your career today.
Welcome back, everybody. So for this next listener slash attendee question, we have musician Mike Ryback, and let's listen to his question regarding, endless possibilities.
My name is Mike. My last name is Rybak. It's Rybak. Not everybody knows this last name. Yeah, I'm from Ukraine. I'm a singer. Yeah, so it's my I just heard about it from a fellow local musician 2 weeks ago. So appreciate the tip because I'm loving my time here. So no long-term impact yet, but having a great time here. Got an interesting angle to my problem from a mentor person, and met a few great folks and talking to you guys. Like, this is my X minutes of fame. So let's I've been in four walls for years now. I'm an engineer. The moment they let us go work from home, I saw an opportunity and I took it, and it's been amazing because I control the level of noise. I'm an engineer, so I have all kinds of quirks, and I can control level of smells and noises. And not always, because there's a kitchen. But yeah, it's been a blessing, and no traffic. And but then I wanted some human connection over time more than the people I love the most. More people than those, and then it's just like, okay, there's many 200 parking spots, like there's 200 and something. So yeah, I was I didn't see a huge like music conference in the area, but this looks like the closest I could see, because I was looking to a larger scale of not as niche as I could be looking for, as opposed to super niche, but it's three guys in a bar. So I thought it should be cool, and it is time. It's like I'm 40 almost, and I have a life. I have a job. I try to exercise, so Maybe it was some of those are excuses, and you can always, like, you know, do the Gary Vaynerchuk thing. But no, I need my sleep, so I'm not doing the Gary Vayner. So time, I think I have a pretty straightforward. I had two important phases in the past 5 years. The first, like, 3 years, I had a problem with the songs that I produced. Didn't feel like something I want to put out there. Like, I didn't, like, I was, well, my big dream and goal was to become someone who can produce a song and then say, wow, this is exactly how I feel. This is exactly what I want to say. This is what, that's it. Like, this is me. So that was a big struggle where, like, I paid $2,500 to an Italian guy for five songs, like 500 each. And I put zero on Spotify, and not because I was late. Like, it just, like, this. And why did I do all five? I don't know why. And now I make a song for $300 with a guy from Ukraine. And I'm, like, super happy about it. And the first guy was great. I just didn't know what I was doing. And he was saying, like, yeah, I guess I like it. So finding yourself is, like, just in terms of expression. And then the other 2 years, I was experimenting with, wait, it was struggle time. Yeah. The other thing, the other last 2 years, I was making memes on TikTok. And I was, like, making acoustic, like, drum and bass, all kinds of things. Like, so basically, there's my core thing that I'm doing, which is producing metalcore for Spotify. And then there's all those other things that kind of help you promote yourself or just, like, sharing your worldview, whatever, and influence. So I've tried all of those things, and I've narrowed this down to things that work and that I really want to be doing. And it's very straightforward. It's all about execution now. So I'm done with the experimentation phase. You can send your songs to influencers. They review it. You get traction. If it's a good song, you get more traction. That's pretty much all it is. Like, you produce a song, you send it for review, people review it, you get subscribers. So, and I make one song in 4 months, 6 months. So, like, what are we talking about? We're talking about time. And, like, I'm waiting for my next song to come out, and I don't know when. Yeah, that was a big struggle. Like, if you ask me 2 years, my wife is my biggest supporter, and like, she's so grateful for me having friends, so her ears have some rest. I remember walking, like, we lived in Los Angeles 5 years ago, and, like, I could make music for, like, I could produce a cartoon with a bear who, like flies and then swims underwater. And she's like, yeah, you could do that. Like, what are we talking? Like, so I had no idea what I want to do. And I could do all of those things. And, like, I could, I don't know, open for Shinedown. Shinedown could be my big goal. Like, what I do to do that, like, start a band. And now that was so, like, it was excruciating. Like, the fact that I don't have time right now, it's like, yeah, that's a bummer. But not knowing who you are and what you want to do with your music, knowing you have something in you that needs to, I know if you know the song, Start a Tiny, like, Tiny Riot, there's like, it takes a day to start a tiny riot, which, like, basically start a change from within. There's something in you that you want to, like, great song. So you feel that dynamite ignited is the song. And you're like, where do I ignite it? Like, how is that looking? How would that look in the real world? So when you don't know the answer to that question, and I can imagine somebody could be looking for, like, years and years and years, that's, like, pain. And now I found myself, that's who I am. Yeah, it's really slow. Like, that's not pain. It's a problem. It's just reality. I'm okay with it.
So I feel like a lot of us go through something very similar at the beginning, where we have endless choices, endless paths, endless styles, endless disciplines too, that we can explore to, especially if we love all of it and it's hard to narrow it down. And then, of course, I think we can all relate to that idea of later on in our careers, we may have found our style, our voice, you know, our rhythm, but then there's less time to explore other things that are a little bit outside of it. And that, I mean, that's part of the journey. That's part of the reality of it. We'll never have all the time to do all the things, and that is okay, because, you know, there's things you want to kind of specialize in and dive deep into and kind of, like, become a master of, instead of just dabbling in a lot of different things and just kind of drifting about, right? Unless you do it as a hobby, and then that's fine, drift all you want. If you're doing it career-wise, you do have to specialize to a certain extent, whether it's music or food or visual art, right? I would say this is an advice I got from one of my first art mentors, and I share it all the time. And it's essentially to kind of figure out what are some of the things you're interested in pursuing. Again, everybody depending on your discipline, what you're most interested about, and essentially try to rank it in a way of what are you most passionate about, then do 20 of the thing. So in the case of painting, oh, I want to do flowers and cats and cars and whatever it is, right? And then try to figure out, okay, out of that list, what is the thing I want to do the most? Oh, I know I want to do botanicals. Great. Do 20 of those botanicals, or try to get through 20, and then evaluate as you get through it, push through it, get to the end. Is this something I'm still passionate about that I want to deep dive a little bit more into? Or actually, I couldn't wait to get it over with, and this is not my jam. And then you move on to the next thing, right? And by going through this process of, you know, trial and error to a certain extent, then it helps you kind of narrow down a lot of those choices. Now, that doesn't mean the things that you're like, not now, and you put on a back burner. Don't be afraid to put stuff on the back burner. Like, at some point, I'd love to make a series based on the planets. I don't know. I love space and galaxies and all, you know, kind of nerdy like that. But in my current working style, it doesn't fit. So it lives in the back burner. It doesn't mean that 4 or 5 years down the road, I might be like, actually, you know what? The time has come. We are exploring this planet theme in a series of work. Like, you can always bring it back and kind of tie it into what you're already doing, or do it as an offshoot. And that's fine. But that part where we're all like at the entrance of the big, or it looks like a big whirlpool of all these ideas and all these things, I feel like the trick is to just literally list them, rank them, and then pick one. Go into that, see how you feel about it, like literally give it a good old college try, as they say, like give it your best effort, and then decide, do I add this to my toolbox, or do I back burner it and I can come back to it later, or do I discard it and it's not my thing, but it was worth a shot. I was curious about it. I'm satisfied. I'm moving on. So I feel like for any folks that are in that stage of like, I could do all the things, that's great. Like, we love that, but if you're going to do this as a career, you do need to narrow it down a little bit, at least at first, and then you can go from there.
Yeah, and I think that's really the key, is to find that balance between all of those different variables, right? Like, find that distinct style, but something that you love doing. And that does remind me of kind of a conversation that comes up a lot with artists, but in case some of our listeners are not aware of the ikigai concept of finding basically what your one like true purpose is in the world. You almost think of four different circles that are all interacting to where there's a small piece in the center, to where one circle is what the world needs. One is what you love or enjoy doing. What you are good at is the third one. And the fourth one being, of course, something that you will get paid for. And the goal for many creatives is to find the intersection of those four things. Because based on where you are, the world needs different things. Based on who you are as an artist, you're good at different things or enjoy making different things. And so I think always evaluating those four questions can be super helpful as an artist, because there may be something that you're really, really good at, let's say like photorealism painting. But if you don't enjoy doing it, it can be really tempting, because people are going to pay for it, you're good at it, to go in that direction. And then you end up building an art business that you end up feeling forced to make work that you don't enjoy making. Which is a really hard place to be in as an artist. So I think constantly evaluating those four questions, what does the world need? What do I love doing? What am I good at? And what will I get paid for? Is a great way to kind of take a pulse of, am I going in the right direction? And with your advice, Adriana, of committing to making a series of 20, or committing, okay, for the next 6 months, this is going to be my focus, can be super helpful with navigating those different waters. But as we wrap up today's episode, we're going to do one last question from Sarah Rose.
Well, I'm Sarah Rose. I am a student at Meredith. I graduate in May, but I'm also a sculpture artist. I work primarily with ceramics and stone, but I'm just getting into glass with my professor, Lisa Pierce, which I'm so excited about. I could be a real nerd about it, but I was just introduced to triangle artworks in the fall. I took a professional practices class with Lisa Pierce, and she had given me a slight introduction to it. And then I enrolled in the mail list. And my first real experience, though, is tonight at Smash, and I'm loving it so far. I've made some really great connections with people. And I think it points out the beauty of having community in the arts. For a long time, I struggled with seeing myself as an artist, especially since I am a student who is majoring in art. I have quite a few friends who are artists, but they're majoring in marketing or business. And I find that it's been easier for them to see themselves as artists because they're not students first. But balancing that and learning to see myself as an artist has been a really great journey. And I hope that more people can find that.
Sarah Rose definitely, I feel like, is speaking to my younger self as a graduate of art school. And that is such a common conversation that, at least at the time I was graduating, was not something that I was really even aware of. So kudos to her for even having that self-awareness. But that struggle between, if you have the title of being an art major in college versus just self-identifying as an artist, where maybe you're a business major, or vice versa. If you're like, well, I can't consider myself an artist because I am a business major, or whatever the situation may be. I know she didn't have too much of a question, but more so a comment on that. And yeah, I have definitely felt that at different points in my creative career. And I think the one advice I would probably give young artists, and really just students in general, would be being less self-critical about having to fill this looming identity that is kind of a social construct anyway, which is a larger conversation, but really focusing on what skills do I want to add to my tool belt of experiences. I think now, a few years into my creative career, a lot of the skills I've gathered along the way in hindsight make a lot of sense, or I'm able to kind of whip out this experience or that to move me forward. But at the time of collecting experiences or collecting skills, I was like, they're not really making sense now, but we're just going to store them away for later and then see how they work out. So worrying less on the self-identity portion, but thinking of, okay, well, what skills do I want to gather? Or what experiences do I want to push for in the more immediate future?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I was like those business students you were talking about, essentially. And I find it interesting, like, in my view, I was like, well, you're an art student, obviously you're an artist. I'm a business student, so I'm not an artist. I have to like earn the title because I didn't go to art school. But at the end of the day, it's like, it doesn't really matter, you know, like artist, you know, it's something that you either are or aren't, and it's not like necessarily talent, to skill you build, you know, kind of like, you know, famous chefs, were they born cooking? No, they had to grow up to cook like everybody else. And it's like a skill that you hone in over time. So I feel like, adding to what Jackie said, it is about the skills you add to your tool belt. So if there's something that you're like, well, I don't have X because I didn't graduate out of X degree, then see what of that you think you actually need and then add it on your own. I mean, there's plenty of courses online, like the ones we have at levelupartist.com, obviously. But there's like YouTube, there's Pinterest, there's TikTok, there's Instagram. There's all kinds of books, art books and things like that, that you can reference that can help you fill those perceived gaps in skills and learning. And a lot of times, once you dive a little deeper in it, it's like, oh, that has nothing to do with whether I'm an artist or not, honestly. That just helps perhaps the business side of it, or it may help in evolving your art style if you're adding more techniques to your style, if you're the business student, you know, a scenario, which that was me. But it doesn't necessarily have to be one. If I do one, I'm missing out on the other, and vice versa. There's ways to either combine both or just take a little bit of both, because some folks have neither. They don't have the business, they don't have the art degree, they might have something completely different. They might be maybe they went to school to be a chef, you know, so they want to paint, and they're like, I neither have business and I don't have art, I just know how to make cakes. Well, that's great. That's cool too. You get to choose, you know, for you to see yourself and call yourself an artist. You literally, it's up to you what you think some of those qualifications are. But if you make art, you're an artist because you are making art. So it's honestly the only real qualification there. So anyways, thank you so much to all the attendees for all your questions, for us to be able to share them on the podcast, and you know, for us to be able to respond to them, react to them, and share with you kind of what we have learned along the way.
Absolutely. And if you do have more questions for us that you would like us to answer on the podcast, you can go ahead and DM us on Instagram.
Yeah, you can. So with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up today's conversation. And we hope you enjoyed this episode.
As always, our blog will be linked in today's show notes, where you can find episode notes and links to all of our other podcast episodes.
And if you want to stay connected with us in between episodes, share feedback, or have a question you would like for us to answer on the podcast, you can reach us through social media. I'm at Ame Art across all platforms.
And I'm at J Sanders Studio on all platforms. And if you want to follow the podcast, we are at Level Up Artist on Instagram.
You can also visit levelupartist.com to get immediate access to templates, resources, and course modules to level up your creative career.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.